Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Nation. That's the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with my two second-in-command, Producer Dave and Commander Chris. We're coming to you from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, Oregon. And we'd like to say hi to all of our affiliates on the Barbecue Nation radio network and the Envision radio network. You've seen her on TV. You've heard her on this show. You may have even attended one of her classes. But Lanae Oxley, Loop. Did I say it right?
Uh-huh.
Finally,
yes,
after all
Lanae
these years?
Oxley Loop. Yeah, I am married now.
That. Yeah. We're going to be talking to Lanae today, and we're going to be talking to her about what she's doing media-wise, what she's doing privately with her barbecue company, which is Sugars, and all kinds of fun stuff. Also, little Styx music for you. I thought Styx would be appropriate today. Why, I have no idea, but at 9 o'clock last night when I was putting the script together, it sounded like a dang good idea. And
Domo arigato.
There you go. And this portion of Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. You can check them out at naturalbeef.com. Lanae, welcome.
Thanks for having me, JT.
It's not.
This is a really cool little studio you got in here. It's
beautiful, gorgeous. Yeah, I can see out the windows.
I know. I love it. You see the mountains. You see the sunshine, the trees, the birds.
My old studio, you could just kind of look across and see the other high rise, right? Straight across. Now you can see, like you say, you got trees and birds and people and flags waving, and it's very cool.
It's beautiful. Life is good, my friend. Life is good.
So what have you been up to?
Oh, my gosh. Where do I start? How much time we got here?
We got 8 minutes.
Okay, perfect. So, well, first and foremost, just recently I released my two barbecue sauces that have been years in the making. They go along with the rubs that I released last year to produce a really nice family of products that will all complement each other. These sauces are wonderful. I've got two formulations right now. One is Campfire Dreams. The other one is Rodeo Candy. We could talk about that in a little bit. Outside of that, lots of barbecue classes that we hold at our home in Battleground, Washington. And lots and lots and lots and lots of catering, my friend. A little bit of travel in between all that, but it's all about been the business of barbecue and catering and lots of weddings, corporate events, things like that, the rubs, the sauces, and the classes. So I've been pretty busy.
Now, the last time I talked to you, you just finished up a couple of episodes on Chopped, but you couldn't tell us how it ended. Because it hadn't aired yet.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So, so I was on Chopped Up for a few episodes. One was the Gold Medal Games, which coincided with the Winter Olympics. Mm-hmm. That was a 5-segment tournament event. I won my segment, and then I came in second overall at the finale of the show itself. I was brought out about 6 months after that to do a follow-up show, kind of a redemption show, made it all the way to the
redemption,
final.
I like
it's
that.
Redemption. So basically, former runners-up of tournaments that they had, they put them all head-to-head-to-head-to-head for a winner-take-all, one show, and then I ended up coming in second place again.
Well, so, you're consistent.
I'm consistent with the second-place type stuff. I am a Chopped champion. I did win a Chopped episode, so I'm very happy about that. So, but you know what? It's a lot of fun. It gets my brand out there. I love doing these television shows. I love to sort of showcase some breadth of skill that I've got, especially in the Chopped Kitchen.
Right.
And the Chopped Kitchen is a tough kitchen to cook in. I'll tell you what. They're brutal. Those judges are tough, and you can't pass anything off on them. And it's pretty crazy stuff. It's a lot of pressure, but it is a ton of fun.
I know the show I did for Discovery Learning, I don't remember that, you know, they're all kind of owned by the same people in a lot of cases. That was fun. It was tough.
I'd been used to doing TV and things, so that wasn't, that part didn't bother me, but it was interesting to listen to talk to the other competitors along the way. I learned a lot from them. I did learn a lot from them.
Yeah.
I learned some things I didn't want to do, but I learned a lot of positive things too. So it was a good experience overall, even though I've never watched the show.
A lot of the contestants, we all become friends. I mean, a lot of us, some of us maybe know each other before we hit the air with Chopped or whatever competition we're on. But sometimes we can make some really good friends after the fact. One of the gentlemen who's been on Food Network a number of times named Jay Ducote, he's got a food, he's got a lot of stuff going on in Baton Rouge where his hometown is. We've become very close friends. I travel to Baton Rouge, do some things with him, some collab chef projects, which is good. And it's really about networking. It's about expanding your reach. And you never know who you meet, you know, you never know whose hands you shake and what kind of influence that they have and kind of doors that they can open for you. So it's really been positive all the way around. If I never do any more TV again, this has been, it's been an incredible time. I know I will do some more television coming up, and I get calls all the time from these guys. So when I can, I do. And of course, I've got a really business, a really busy business. So it, I can only just fit so much in my schedule.
Well, it was like coming in here today, you met one of the other hosts for another one of our stations here, and she knew she had seen you somewhere, but she didn't want to say anything. And then when I piped up and said, well, you know, Lene has been on Pitmasters and Chopped, and she, you know, they do that a lot.
They do. I get stopped in airports. I get stopped at grocery stores. People at restaurants. I mean, just people sort of tap me on the shoulder and they tell me they're all rooting for me, and they had a really great time. You know, I'll be honest with you, from a personal standpoint, I did come in second place for a number of these contests. And I would beat myself up back and forth about it, about not necessarily winning. But a lot of times, I'll be honest with you, a lot of these people don't care. They've seen you on, you've influenced them, you've given them a little inspiration. So that is more important to me than winning. And they come to my classes and they buy products and they want to hear what I have to say and they want to learn from me. So that to me is a win all the way around as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it is. You know, when I first started doing television years ago, and I'm a ham. You have to be a ham to do this stuff.
Absolutely.
You know, you have to do that. So, but I got so that I got used to people staring at me. And no, it's not the obvious thing, you know, but you know, you'd go to the grocery store and maybe they had just seen you on the show that morning. And these news people and stuff that are on there all the time, they get a ton of this. And so I just found it interesting that that was something you kind of had to get used to, because I didn't, when I go to the grocery store, I don't have my cowboy hat on or my big buckles or anything like that.
Sure.
I'm just golf shirt and jeans and slip on shoes or something, but they, you know, they kind of cock their head and they look at you and you're like, yeah, it's me. What do you want?
You know, isn't that funny? JT, I have my hair pulled back. I've got scrubby pants on and a t-shirt and stuff, and people will still recognize you. It's pretty crazy. And you know, just because, And the show, you know, especially with Food Network or Destination America, they continuously show repeats. And so you never know quite when people watch the show or when they don't. But it's fun to be recognized. It's fun. You know, people want to take a photo or whatever and chat with me. I've influenced them in such a way and given them a little inspiration. And you know what? If it's 30 seconds out of my day to say hi to somebody and shake their hand and thank them, then to me it's worth it 100% because I've made them smile. I've made their day. So that's really good.
And
I don't take any of it. I take it in stride. I don't have a big ego. It's to me, I'm just there just trying to do my best. And I happen to have a bunch of cameras pointed in my direction. And I actually love doing the television thing. I really love it.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
You get a thrill out of it.
No, I mean, I still get an email from somebody once in a while that'll say, was that you on TLC the other night? Well, I have no idea, you know, because they run them. And I, like I said, I've never watched the shows, you know, because I'm kind of funny about that way. It's kind of like when I do radio, when it's done, it's in the can, I move on to the next one. And but I'll still get emails from people, and I get emails from people like when here in Portland, when I'm doing AM Northwest or one of those shows in Seattle or wherever, they write me. It's usually with a question about something, about something I did, you know, a recipe or question like that. Or sometimes they want to know if, you know, you'd like to get involved in some event or whatever. That's fine too. But I always try to answer every one of them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because
100%.
You know, they take the time out of their life and their day to communicate with you. I think we owe them to say thanks and sure, how can I help you?
Absolutely. Give them a hug or a handshake or whatever and help them out. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really have secrets in barbecue. I share everything. And with my classes, I demonstrate some things. People get to see me prepping meat and cooking meat, and then they get to eat it, and it's really fun. So, but if that's not the scenario that I meet people at, then it's wonderful to give them a little bit of help. And if I get emails and texts and calls all the time, people sort of having struggles with this and that. I'll never call myself an expert in barbecue, but I know a few things, and if it's been successful, so I'll take it as far as I can go with it. And but it's a lot of fun. You know, I was thinking, JT, you and I need to probably collab together, maybe cook some things.
We could do that.
I think it'd be a lot of fun. You could show me how to play golf, because my golf game is terrible.
Oh, we could do that too. But first thing we got to do is we got to take a break. We're going to be back. That would be Lene and I right here on Barbecue Nation right after these kind words from our sponsors. So don't go away. Hey everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. If you'd like to email us, it's bbqnation@salem, salempdx.com. Also, you can check us out on SoundCloud, which is Barbecue Nation with JT on there. We also have the Facebook page and Twitter accounts and all that stuff. So we're not that hard to find. It's just barbecuenation@salempdx.com. We're with Lene Oxley-Loop today. You've been on this show, what, 3 or 4 times now?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
And every time you've always got something you're doing, which I find really fascinating. You know, Tuffy Stone is going to be on later.
Oh, and, Tuffy is awesome.
Yeah.
Absolutely awesome.
He's great. And that guy's always busy or not. Well, he owns some restaurants and stuff too, but he's always busy. But he's a great storyteller.
He is. He's got a lot of stories to tell. You know, yeah, he has restaurants. He's got, I'm sure he does lots of catering. He's got books.
Yep.
He just won Memphis in May,
yep,
which is incredible. I mean, that guy is a machine. He doesn't travel with a big entourage like a lot of teams do. He just has a few people on his team, basically he and his dad. And that guy has pretty much won every big event that you can win. He's just incredible. And he has a saying, and I like to kind of steal it from him. He goes, the harder I work, the luckier I get. Because people always tell him how lucky he is. And he's like, you know what? The harder I work, the luckier I get. And so that's a cool mantra. And I keep that for myself too. So I'm pretty good health right now. I'm pretty happy. I'm mobile.
Yeah.
So when I can, I do, and I'm not going to stop. I feel like I'm in my stride. Things are happening really well.
Yeah.
Things are happening great, and so I'm going to just keep going as far as I can go, and you know, try to make careful moves each time, and meet some people, and shake some hands, and see what happens.
So speaking of careful moves and stuff, We got a few minutes here before we have to go to break. Your barbecue sauces, which yes. you didn't last time you were on my show, you didn't have them out yet.
Right.
This one is called Rodeo Candy. You were talking, of course, there's no MSG or any of the bad stuff in there. You developed this over a long period of time.
Yes.
So when you were doing your development, did you have different versions of it and have people try it?
Yes.
And then they said, this is really good, but this one's better than this one? Or how'd you go through that process?
Yeah, so yes, absolutely. So the two sauces I have, one is more of a mustard-based kind of smoky, a tangy mustard, sweet mustard. The other one is the Rodeo Candy, which is more a sweet barbecue, like mm-hmm. a typical barbecue, a ketchup, you know, like a tomato base.
Right.
A base. Yes, R&D for months and months and months and months and months. These are modeled after award-winning sauces that I've made. I used some of these sauces in competition barbecue, won some awards on it, and I wanted to get a good, clean label product with no high fructose corn syrup, no MSG, no artificial preservatives. I wanted something that was true to form, something locally mixed and bottled, so it was fresh, a small batch. So when you're getting something in the bottle, it is fresh. It's not been sitting
right.
in a shelf for months and months and months. And so I want, and also too, more importantly, from a chef point of view, it's all about having something and developing something that's going to work in unison with the rubs. I don't want something that's going to compete.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the impetus behind developing these barbecue sauces. And so I wanted to come up with something. So it took a little while. It took some trial and error, giving it to some people, having them test it on all different kinds of cooking medium, in the oven, on their pressure cooker, crock pot,
sure.
things like that, on
sure.
the barbecue, on the grill,
sure.
or just dipping their French fries in it. And I wanted something that could hit the mark every single time in every aspect. And it did, as far as I'm concerned, and the people that I gave it to. And these weren't just like friends or whatever, just basically strangers that I would say, here, try this out, take it home, let me know what you think.
It's interesting because you're one of the first people that have actually said to compliment not just your rubs, but pretty much any rub, that even if you use salt and pepper, you know, that they would compliment it. I have no criticism of other people that I've interviewed over the years, but very few of them actually bring up that point. It's more like, yeah, this is really good. And they are, they're fine sauces, you know?
Yeah. Well, coming up with a family of products, and I've got a couple more sauces on the horizon
sure.
here, and a couple more rubs on the horizon. The most important aspect of this is that they're all independent. They all can stand alone. But if you mix them together, they'll work. And they won't compete with one another. They won't mask the flavor of the food that you're putting it on. That's why these sauces and rubs took a long time to develop. That's why they took a long time to bring to market. I'm a chef. That's my trade. I've been cooking my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much all I've done. I've tried to get out of the business. I keep getting pulled back in. But... So I wanted to, if I'm going to put my name on these sauces and this product line, it better meet all the standards that I
yeah.
set out. I can't just take somebody else's stuff, put my name on it and call it
right.
my own. Nor can I just put a bunch of stuff in a jar, call it barbecue sauce or whatever, and then say, here you go, buy it. And I'm not going to do that. So this has been carefully thought out. And as a result, they do complement one another.
And it's a tough business. I mean, I was in the spice business for a while, and I know people have probably... I think I'm a broken record about talking about it, but this was, that was 14 years ago. They're a little more welcomed now, but 14 years ago, it was, if you went to a big box store, you had to give them so many free cases. You had to do all this program. It took 3 months for them to do the SKU, which was a lot of nonsense. In fact, my nephew worked for one of the big box stores and he says, you know, 2 months to do the SKU. He goes, they can do it in 15 minutes. And so I went through all this and I got frustrated because I was doing so much with other things in my life. I was traveling a lot. We were doing a lot of TV at the time and all that. And so I just backed completely out of it. It just kind of went away. I still have the recipes locked up somewhere, but there's so many good products out there now like yours that I don't feel the urge I need to compete. And shelf space is still at a premium for people.
Shelf space is at a premium. I'm pretty lucky. New Seasons just picked up the line, which is really great. I'm very, very thankful and fortunate to have those guys give me some great shelf space.
Sure.
I used to work for the company for 15 and a half years, but I, you know, by and large, they did it. They took a chance on me and it's
right.
selling really, really well. And it's gaining traction quite a bit. I sell all over the place. I sell through my website. And I'm going to start to go national with the products themselves. You know, this isn't my main source of income. If it was, I'd be broke as a joke. This is a very expensive thing to do. I don't need to tell you, anybody that's done it, whether it's salsas or chocolate dipping sauce or whatever. It's a specialty product. There are a million barbecue sauces out there. There are a million seasoning rubs out there.
Right.
The whole point of this was to try to get a little bit of me out there, a little bit of my brand. The people that don't want to book me for catering, because that's the main business. That's my main business.
Sure.
But still want to have a flavor of what I'm doing. And this is perfect. This fits the bill.
We're going to take another break, and Lene and I will be back after these words from our sponsors. So think about what you're going to cook this afternoon or this evening, but don't touch the dial. Hey everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Ooh. Hey, welcome back to the Nation. I'm JT, along with my secondary sergeants there, Dave and Chris. They're never in the studio, though. They're always lurking. They're good lurkers about. And I've got Lene Oxley-Loop with us today. Lene's been a friend of the show for several years now. Real quick, what have you learned since doing CHOP, since doing Pitmasters, since doing your catering? Tell us a couple of things that you have learned about doing your own barbecue and how you've changed and how you implemented it.
That's a good question. I think first and foremost, right off the bat, what comes to the top of my mind is preparation. I think a lot of times the reason I've done really well on these shows, and the difference between winning an episode or one of these shows and coming in second is minuscule. It's just like, it's just hair thin mistakes that you make.
Right.
It's just about luck of the draw kind of thing. Everybody is on the top of their game. So everyone is prepared. So the first and foremost is being prepared. The second aspect of the whole process is not overthinking what you're doing, because I think that's easy to do. I could go this direction, I could go that direction, I can manipulate this and this and this. I think if you cook from the heart, you cook and you keep it simple, you don't lose anybody in the process. And first and foremost, you don't lose your identity of what you're trying to do and what you're trying to get out of it. So that would be next on the list. I think outside of that, I think it's really about it's about bringing your A game. It's about bringing everything that you can to the forefront, and it's about coming in focused and knowing exactly what you're going to do. A lot of these television shows, and a lot of times what you see is what happens. On Chopped, it's 20 minutes. It's not 21 minutes. It's not 19 minutes. It's 20 minutes. You cut your arm off, it's still 20 minutes. Barbecue Pitmaster at the same time, 5 hours, 6 hours, whatever happens to be. Of the two, I think Chopped was a lot more fun because it allowed me to showcase the breadth of skill that I possess, not just in barbecue, but on the stove and the oven.
Right.
You know, different kinds of methodologies, different kinds of preparation, desserts, appetizers, things like that, under a very specific time frame with a specific breadth of product in a pantry. So you don't have a lot of time to prep. You just need to know what you're gonna do. So at each stage of the game, you're like, okay, if I get into the appetizer, this is what I'm gonna try to do. If I make it to the entree round, this is where I'm gonna gun for. And whatever's in that basket, I'm gonna try to manipulate into a salad or a taco or a pizza or a sandwich or something. Again, part of that preparation. And then if I make it to the dessert, all right, I'm going to do donuts or fritters. I'm going to do a cake. I'm going to do cookies. I'm going to do ice cream. Again, part of that preparation. So studying up and figuring out how you're going to do that within the confines of the game itself and what you're allowed to do and the time frame you have to do it in. But so absolutely. I mean, going in, those are some aspects that are super, super important to think about. And then just have fun with it. I mean, somebody's got to go home early and someone's going to win it. And then there's the in-between. It's the people that get voted off or they lose, you know, first, second, third, whatever it is. You got to have fun with it. And especially with episodes at with Pitmasters, you know, it's a long day. It's a long couple of days. Filming is really, really tough. It's a long time.
It's
not easy. People make it easy, but it's not. You're constantly having cameras around you, microphones around you, producers yelling and screaming at you, go here, go there. And then there's the game in the middle of it, which is why you're there.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you, you've got a lot of people wanting a part of you, pulling you to pieces. But you want to win the game, and that's what's really, really important. You're there to win the darn thing.
Right.
And so at the end of it, you have spent everything that you can, emotionally, physically. And there was a couple of times when I just bawled my eyes out because I could not. I mean, by the time the bell rang and everything was turned in, it was anything, it's all over but the crying. And sometimes I just, they caught me at a really kind of emotional time. But it just goes to show you how much pressure you put on yourself. But if you come in with preparedness, you come in with some focus and keeping it a little bit on the simple side, they're going to be successful no matter what you're doing.
I know there's a producer at Jane Street Productions in New York that probably doesn't think too highly of me. She asked me to say what was on my mind.
Sure.
So I did.
Yeah.
Anyway, next story.
Yeah. The producer. I've been really lucky. The producers that I've had to work with, and the camera people, and the judges are all sweet people. They're all great. At the end of the day, listen. You know, you turn in what you're going to turn in, and you stand behind it, and the cards will fall where they have. It's out of your control. There's nothing you could do. You can't deliberate. You can't argue your point.
No.
I will tell you this: as far as I'm concerned, nothing is scripted. Nothing is pre-written. Nothing is determined ahead of time. You give them crap food, they're going to send you home early. You give them really good food, you'll sail through. So that's just kind of how it is. And I love going on these shows. I get calls periodically from new shows. When I can fit into my schedule, I do. And it's great. Gets my brand out there. Gets the name out there in a national way. I couldn't pay for the advertising that I get off of it.
No,
so from a business standpoint, it's awesome. And I get a chance to cook. And that's always fun.
Cooking is good.
Mm-hmm.
Cooking is good. You said you taught a class.
Yes.
You had a Father's Day class.
I did.
Which was, we're recording the show the day after Father's Day. Thank you, Mercedes, for calling me from New York, by the way, on your way home from work last night. So when you get I just call them civilians. When you get a group of civilians and they come in and you're teaching them, you're going to give them some basic instruction. But, you know, their skills may range from 0 to 9.5.
Sure.
Really like that. So we got about 3-4 minutes here before we go to break. What, you know, your skill level does not equate to theirs. They're there to learn from you. So how do you talk to the guy that's at a 1 and how do you talk to the guy that's at a 9 at the same time?
So first and foremost, my classes are, and I affectionately call them basically backyard pit master classes.
Uh-huh.
These are not competition classes. If people want to ask me competition questions, I will gladly answer that. I'll show them some things. But I really want, the whole point of why I like to teach barbecue is I want to get the people that are using their pellet cookers and they're drying out their ribs and they want a better rib recipe. They want to know why they're doing it. Or they've never done brisket before and they want to approach brisket. They've seen it on TV. They've seen it in restaurants. It's a huge chunk of meat. Again and again, I want to break some myths. I want to showcase some very simple steps of how to select meat, prep meat, season the meat, cook the meat, whether you're on a pellet cooker or whether a big fancy cooker, smoker, whether you're on an electric, a grill or something, mm-hmm. you know, a gas grill, any of that. I want to show you how I do it, and I want to break it down in its basic elements to get you better at your barbecue. Whether you have done the circuit, whether you're just this pro, or whether you're just starting out, especially other women, I want to inspire other women to get up on the grill. And I get a breadth of different kinds of people at my classes. Yesterday's Father's Day class was amazing. We did some amazing food. I did a prime rib. I did a pork rack, bone-in pork loin roast. And, of course, I do brisket and pork butt. And I do ribs. And I do some chicken. I do all kinds of different things. And showcase and tell people, listen, it's not really that difficult. Don't overthink it. This is what you need to do. And then do it. And have fun with it. At the end of the day, you got to have fun with it. And most times you can eat what you mess up on the grill. So,
sure.
So it's great. So, you know, I talk to everybody the same way, and I allow a lot of question and answer. So if somebody does have a little bit more of a technical question, I will give them my point of view on it. I'll give them my experience with it. And but I love a different skill levels. I mean, it's wonderful to get that kind of attention in the class,
right,
and that kind of attendance,
right,
in the class.
Right.
It's wonderful. I get all kinds of people, and I get people traveling across the state. I get people traveling, flying in for my classes. I'm blown away by people that would spend money on an airline ticket in a hotel room to come out to see me talk about stuff for the day and talk about barbecue. I think I'm very honored, very flattered.
Well, you should be, but it's well deserved from all the time you put in. Like you said, and Tuffy says, the harder you work, the luckier you get. It's interesting when you talk about airplane tickets and hotel rooms. I did a tour one time, and I had to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning every morning to be on the 7 o'clock morning shows to cook a prime rib in the hotel room and hopefully not blow the circuits out with my roasting pan, you know. It was funny to watch. This is way off subject, but you'd see
people. I bet the hotel smelled amazing.
And they did. They'd come out in the morning.
They're like, who's cooking?
Yeah, you know, and I'd walk by the front desk and I'd be carrying this pan, like a drip pan with that stuff in there. They're like, let me get the door for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you bring back samples? Like that. It was all good.
Awesome.
I think it's great that we have people from all levels, you know. I'm talking, I guess we got to take a break, and we'll talk about this when we come back. Before we go to break, Leanne will be back in a few minutes. I was wondering if you were curious about how much wine is consumed where you live every year. New color-coded map from VinePair, that's VinePair, shows which states drink the most wine per capita and by volume. And it's all based on data from the National Institute of Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. Surprisingly, those living in Idaho drink the most wine per capita, which is 1.2 gallons. They beat out the America winemaking mecca of California. West Virginians drink the least amount of wine per capita, with a tenth of a gallon each on average. But they do drink about a gallon of beer and 2 gallons of spirits every year. I guess there's nothing else to do in West Virginia. Anyway, the wine map shows the highly populated state of California, which is responsible for 86% of our total volume of output, they do indeed drink the most wine by volume at 155.6 million gallons. We're going to take a break here on The Nation. We'll be back with Lene Oxley right after this. Everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Lene Oxley. Let me slow down a little bit and say that. Lene Oxley Loop. How's that? Lene's been, this is your fourth time on the show, I think.
Fourth time, yeah. I love coming out on being on your show. You're always a lot of fun.
I'm kind of a fun guy. I've been told that before.
You're never grumpy with me.
I'm never grumpy.
I don't know about your other guests.
No, I don't get grumpy with them. It's off the air that you got to worry about. It's off the air you got to worry about. you have a bucket list for your career?
You know, yeah, I do. Yes, I do. It changes all the time. It gets emptied. It gets filled up. I have a task list, a bucket list. Absolutely. Going national with my product line, expanding the product line is first and foremost.
Sure.
Being able to expand my reach for catering is second. A brick and mortar is not too far out of the realm of possibility. Even though I kick and scream and say no, no, no. I think it's just sort of a foregone conclusion that I'll probably end up doing something like that. I always tell people I'm too old to be uncomfortable. And I did the brick and mortar thing for a long, long, long time. I know it's a lot of work, but a lot of people are recognizing my brand and the quality that it represents. And it's only a matter of time before I get a brick and mortar. I'm not hinting on anything. It's just nothing's happening right now, but I'm not going to say no. If it's right, that's first and foremost on my bucket list. And then of course, traveling and getting and experiencing, getting influenced by other people, meeting people. I love to just shake hands and I love to meet people in the industry and learn. I want to do some association stuff. I want to go and take some classes, just see what other people are doing in their barbecue classes. And because I'm always trying to get better. I'm always trying to streamline the process. I'm always trying to learn as much as I can, and so that I can be better and more beneficial for my students.
Yeah.
And give them a better, well-rounded knowledge base.
What do you do in your off time besides sleep, if you get any off time?
You know, people ask me what I like to do for fun. I like to travel and I like to eat. And I do. I try to do that. At least once a year, I like to just go and travel. This past spring, I was in the UK, a little bit of Scotland, mostly England.
Yep.
And next year, I want to go out and see more of Scotland and go into Ireland. I ate like crazy. First thing I did in Scotland was I got a plate of haggis, the real deal. And it was awesome. I get a lot of influence and a lot of inspiration from traveling and eating. And it doesn't necessarily translate to barbecue. I'm just talking about influence just in culinary. So in my off time, honestly, yeah, I like to travel. I like to eat. I get together with some friends. Usually it's around food, that sort of thing. I like to do a little bit of exercise when I can. And the rest of it is work. I'm really entrenched doing what I do. I love what I do. People say if you love what you do, it's never work, right? And it's definitely work, but I love it. And I never want to not get up and start the process all over again and continue where I picked up last, and I love it. So yeah, work, a little bit of eating, some traveling, and learning.
I got the eating part down.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a pro. I mean, I'm a pro eater.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we pro cooks, pro eats. That's
exactly.
The way I
Exactly. You know, that's how I got into cooking. People ask me how I got into cooking in general, not necessarily barbecue. When I was really little, my mom and my dad were great cooks, awesome cooks, experimented a lot,
yeah,
cooked a lot of different things. Some of it was good, most of it was mediocre stuff, but some of it was really good. And I loved eating, and I was like, you know, what do I want to do with my life? You know, where do I want to go? Architecture, art, graphic design. And I said, you know what? I really love to eat. I want to learn how to cook. And that's what happened. And I've never been without a job ever since.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I did some. I grew up around country cooks. My mom, a couple of her sisters were excellent cooks. My grandmothers had a couple aunts that were a little on the short side as far as talent, but they were good-hearted, and they didn't take it too harsh to heart when my dad would say something about the food that they brought, but that's a different story. But that's kind of what got me interested. And then, of course, anybody that knows much about me knows about my relationship with Graham Kerr, the Galloping Gourmet, and that really inspired me to go forward and do stuff. And that's just the way it happened. And I kept kind of like you were saying, you know, you got away, but you got dragged back. I always think of The Godfather, you know, and the last one when they said, every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in. And that was kind of like the food business for me. So
I've tried to get out of the food business. I'll tell you what, it does. It just gravitates you. It pulls you right back. The food industry is a hard industry to make a living on, and it is very tough. There's a whole thing that's going on with chefs and the pressure that they're under, and cooks in general, the pressure that they're under for that spotlight and the quality that they produce and the hours that they put in. It's incredible. And there's a lot of fizzle out, and there's a lot of people just quitting and they leave the industry and stuff. And those that stay the course, I think they reap the benefits of it. It's a burnout job. It's a burnout industry, but it's pretty awesome. And it's taken me a lot of places. It's opened a lot of doors, especially in barbecue. Barbecue's just taken my life in a whole different trajectory. So yeah. But I was saying, going back to learning, you know a lot about cast iron cooking and a lot about open fire. And that's something I've never really done. And chuck wagon type stuff. I would love to learn how to do chuck wagon type cooking, open air cooking like that.
Learned that. My dad was quite the horseman. I grew up on a horse ranch, and we would pack. I grew up out by Estacada, and we would pack up to Bagsby Hot Springs for a weekend or a week or whatever. And, you know, I was tiny. I'd ride my pony and all that stuff. But that's how we cooked up there. We're going to get out of here in a couple of minutes, but I wanted to share something with you. On June 6th, United States senators introduced a bipartisan bill that would direct the Agriculture Department to help farmers, ranchers, and landowners use carbon dioxide absorbing practices to generate carbon credits. It's a rare collaboration between the two donkeys and elephants on climate change. The proposed Growing Climate Solutions Act directs the USDA to create a program that would indeed help the agricultural sector gain access to revenue from greenhouse gas offset credit markets. I'm sure you know all about that. The bill is co-sponsored by Republican Senators Mike Braun of Indiana and Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, and Democratic Senator Sheldon Whitehorse of Rhode Island and Debbie Stabenow from Michigan. The bill would establish USDA-certified protocols for farmers, ranch, and forest owners seeking to develop projects that can generate and offset credits under the existing programs. It would offer a new revenue stream for farmers, ranchers, and landowners suffering from the economic impact of global trade tensions and COVID-19. Landowners and farmers can generate credits and earn money for activities ranging from reforestation to sequestering carbon in the soil and capturing methane from livestock. I wonder how they're going to do that. We want to thank Lene for being with us today, and we'll be back next week with another edition of Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. Take care, everybody.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Envision Networks and Salem Media Group. All rights reserved.